We are HIIT Fitness and Boot Camp, Lansing's number one HIIT / boot camp studio with classes that motivate, encourage, and push you. We specialize in 30-minute weight loss boot camps that challenge the body and deliver results in a positive and supportive atmosphere.
Hey guys, this is Coach Nate with another episode of the HIIT Fitness Afterburn podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I got with me always my buddy Armand, aka Kali. What's going on, Armand?
Man, I'm chilling like a villain. How you doing?
Chilling like a villain.
We got this coffee, you know, bright and early. Well, it's actually 2:21.
It's not too bright and early. Hey guys, we've been having a lot of fun with this podcast, and it's going really well. We have another great episode for you guys. We have one of my favorite clients in the studio today, one of my oldest clients I've had. She's been with me for, I think, going on a year now or close to it. So she's been very consistent. It's actually, coincidentally, her birthday today, so we have a special guest on. Happy birthday, Betty. How you doing?
Thank you, Nate. I'm doing great.
That's
happy
awesome.
Happy birthday, Betty. I'm so happy it's your birthday.
Thank
today.
You, Armand.
You look radiant today.
Betty's one of our favorite clients, is she not, Armand?
We talk about you every day.
Oh, yeah. I hope it's good.
It's amazing things.
Yeah, it's all good. It's definitely nothing negative. There's nothing negative that could be said about you. You're definitely a positive influence on a lot of people, and you probably don't even know it.
Well, thank you, Nate. You're a positive influence on me, for sure.
Awesome. I try to be, especially with my line of work. I definitely like helping people and being a positive influence. So, well, let's jump into this. Like I said, Betty's on our, as a guest on our show today. And she does, what do you do for real estate, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she does a little bit of everything. She's also a triathlete.
Yay!
Yes, triathlete, guys. You heard that right.
She just got done.
She just got done running or doing a triathlon, and that is insane. Especially because she came in and signed up as a PT client. She also does some classes, and you know, when I first met with Betty, she was like, you know, I really need to work on everything. I let myself go. And I was, you know, she was far from where she wanted to be. And I was like, well, we'll take this one step at a time. You know, we'll teach you some things and we'll get you back in the groove. And, you know, a little less than a year later, she's doing a triathlon. It's insane. It's like it's a great success story. So I definitely want to touch on some of that. And then you got a great family. Most of your family comes here.
Yeah.
Andy and
crew.
Yeah. Her son, Andy, he's a great guy. One of my friends and a member as well. His wife, which would be your daughter-in-law, Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Textbook Chong. And yeah.
And so Andy's Cheech.
Yeah. So we got the whole crew in here. I like it. Let's start off by talking about the triathlon, because that to me is the best subject. Let's just start out there. It's your birthday today. How old are you, Betty?
63. Wow, Betty, you look great for 63. Right.
Thank you, Armand. Or we could turn it around. It could just be 36.
36?
Yeah. You're pushing that. I honestly
think at heart and like her physical capabilities and like her energy and her vibe and just everything, she moves like a 36-year-old.
She did 63 push-ups the other day.
Listen, I'm 36.
Yeah, Nate makes me do the push-ups.
Right.
You're good at them. I was literally watching you do push-ups and I was stuck. I was like, I don't do push-ups that easily.
Right.
I'm 188.
I'm telling you, she shocks me. I'm 36 and I'm not running triathlons. Do you realize what's involved in a triathlon? Like, you have to bike, run, and swim.
But you swim first, so your whole body is worn out.
I was about to say, so you don't drown, because that's a lot of lifeguards, I thought, that they would have to have.
Insane.
But it makes more sense to me. You swim first.
Swimming takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, and before I started working out with you, I did do a swim before doing a bike and then a run. And when I got out of the water, my legs were like rubber. and I couldn't hardly even get out of the water. And so but recently now after working out, and well, the PT is what helped me the most because you make me come and do stuff.
Right.
But, I can run out of the water after swimming, and I can run into the water because I can high step.
Oh, high knees.
High knees. I do high knees. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So break down the triathlon. Is it, so how long do you have to, is it all the same or is it like?
Different levels.
The race is different. Okay. So how many miles or what's the distance on the swimming?
It can vary from 400 meters to 800 meters to miles. It depends on what you sign up for.
Okay.
So I did the 400 meter.
Wow. That's still a pretty good stretch of swimming. Like it's nothing small. Especially when you get done swimming, then what do you go to?
Then you have a transition where you run to the biking area, and it's called the transition area where your bike is on a rack. And then you take off your wetsuit and transition into the bike. Put your bike shoes on, take off your wetsuit, take off your, you know, hat and your goggles, whatever.
Right.
A hat.
I was about to say, I wear snapbacks in a triathlon.
Right, you take off your swimming cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your goggles.
Yep. And then pull your bike off the rack and then hop on, but not hop on, because you have to then run your bike to the mounting line. And then once you get past the mountain line, you hop on and then you do 10 miles of your bike. Wow. And
10 miles.
And then I had
that's a trip.
I had a malfunction with my handlebars, but
what happened?
Oh, well, I had to remove something from my bike because it was an accessory, and you can't have accessories during a race. And so I didn't.
You have a little bell? Bling, bling, bling.
I always wanted one of those. Right.
Here comes Betty. Bling, 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 bling.
Well, so I had to loosen the bolts, and I never tightened them tight enough. I didn't torque them tight on the handlebars, so they kept sliding forward. And so when I told one of the other triathletes that happened, he said, wow, that took an amazing amount of core strength to go 10 miles with a handlebar that kept sliding down, because you had to use your core then throughout the whole 10 miles.
To hold it up.
Yeah, to hold the bike up and myself. And, I did fall. I did. Yeah, I got like this. Anyway, I got on my ankle. I have a pedal mark. But anyway, I did make it all the way the 10 miles. And then you take yourself from the, when you are ready to dismount, you dismount right at the line. Don't go over. And then go take off your helmet and your and switch your number to the back, or from the back to the front, and then hit the run, and then you run. And so I did a shorter run because I'm a first timer, and so my run was 1.4 miles. Only thing, I got off track, so they told me that I ended up doing the 5K distance because I got off track with some of the other runners.
That's like 3.5, isn't it?
Yeah, 3.1. And anyways, then I finished, and so I have a medal.
Wow.
So you ran a 5K after the biking?
Let me see this.
Yeah, because I got off track. And that's my biggest worry, is getting off track, and I ended up getting off track. But, oh well.
Hey, you were there, and you did it, and you have this really cool medal. She just handed me this medal, guys. It's like, kind of looks like an Olympic medal almost. It's like, you know, big ribbon. It's gold. And it's got like a rim, and it like spins, and it says, try, goddess, try. And man, I am so proud of you that you were able to do this and that you completed it. And you, I mean, that's such an accomplishment, especially, I mean, even at your age, at 63 years old, it's like, what is your excuse, you know, to everyone out there that has like excuses? Like,
and you ran almost three times what you were supposed to.
No, just double.
But still, and it's like, but people out there, a lot of people try to find things in them, in their life, whether it be their age, their weight, their living situation, whatever it is, to a reason why they can't be healthy or do things or chase their dreams. And it's like, you are overcoming a lot of of those obstacles. Like, you don't care. You're like, you know, you don't care. I mean, there's not too many 63-year-olds out there that are, you know, thinking about doing a triathlon. They have other things on their mind. And that's, I salute you for, you know, not letting age or anything get in your way. You know, you were like, I'm going to go do personal training. I'm going to train my body. And then I'm going to complete this triathlon. Because this was not just like a random thing. Like, you...
I had a goal.
You had a plan. Because when we first started training, I remember...
I told you I wanted vividly to be in a triathlon.
That you wanted to be in a triathlon. And I didn't doubt you, but I was like, okay, that's kind of a big goal because a triathlon's kind of a hard thing to do. But I never doubted you, but
like,
I was like,
will you take me? And you said, yeah, sure, I can do it.
Yeah. But the longer we started training, I was like, yeah, she's going to actually do this. And then when you signed up for the race, I was like, this is happening. So yeah. It's awesome.
We better start working on endurance.
Right. Stamina. Yeah. Now, when you're transitioning from swim to bike to run, are you still in like race mode, or do they take like a break? Like, all right, guys, break. Let's get on our bikes. Or are you like running over there, getting the sweatsuit off as fast as possible, getting your bike, running up? Is this still like part of the race?
It's part of the race. You're timed on your swim. You're timed on your transition, number one. And then you're timed on your bike. And then you're timed on your transition, number two. And then you're also timed on your run. Yeah.
So everyone starts the swim at the same time?
Yeah.
But then everyone...
Well, every 3 seconds. But they, as soon as your chip, you wear a chip on your ankle, as soon as your chip gets into the water, then that starts your race.
But then everyone, depending on how fast they are, they start their biking at their own time and they're running at their own time. So it's not like, all right, everyone swim, let's count that time. Okay, now everyone line up, let's bike, let's count that time. It's like you start swimming and then you finish whenever you finish.
You compete with yourself.
Gotcha.
Okay. But you're competing with everybody's time.
Right.
I got a serious question. What happens when people have to pee?
I asked that same question when I started on the Playmakers team, because there's a triathlon team that Playmakers has that you can learn all this stuff from, and which was a blessing to me. But I don't know that I really want to talk about where people pee.
Yeah, because
we want to know.
It's either stage one or...
I mean, you guys have to get...
They tell me, okay, I just go right before the whole thing starts. And I sweat so much that I didn't even have to go during this whole, like...
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you are sweating,
I didn't have to go.
A lot of your fluids, like your water intake, you just sweat it out. So
yeah,
it's not going to your bladder, so...
I didn't even have to go. But so what I've heard, though, from other people is that the ones that do the longer races, they said, you don't think that that's clean water that you're jumping into, right? I said, well, what would it be? Betty, people have to go to the bathroom when they're swimming. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'll make sure I don't... Yeah.
Make sure I don't swallow it.
Right. oh, my God. Well, that's the first stage, though, right?
That's so the first stage.
Typically, not too many people are going to be peeing at the first stage.
And then I heard that you don't want to get too close to the people that are on the bike. Now, it wouldn't hurt me any on my first one because I wasn't close to anybody. I was kind of far behind. But my goal was to finish, okay, to be the first one. But, they said, don't get too close to the people on the bike because if that's usually not rain that's coming off their pedals.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. So they just go?
Gosh. I guess so.
You got to be a different type of human being and just have a mean, like, strong face on and just keep peeing off the bike.
So
like
you just,
puppy.
When you're driving or when you're riding the bike, you just pee. That
I heard
is,
that, I but mean, I mean, I haven't witnessed it, so people, I mean, I'm just warned about it.
Now, was it at certain age groups, or were you competing with all age groups?
Mine is 60 to 65, maybe 60 to 64. I don't know.
How many racers?
I think we had 67.
Wow.
In the race at that particular one,
and you did all Playmaker. You were on the Playmaker team.
Yes.
Wow. Shout out to Playmakers. I actually really like that store. For you guys that are not in the Lansing area, it is a it's a really good shoe store. It's like an athletic shoe store. They have a lot of running and cycling stuff there. And it's a really nice store. I really like it. They have a lot of what are those good? What are the good shoes that a lot of they sell there? The I can't think of it now.
They have Saucony, and then they have Brooks.
Brooks, that's what I'm talking about. Brooks, yeah, yep. Brooks. They're really comfortable shoes.
Yeah, my dad wore Brooks. He was an old guy, and he ran too, so he was part of my inspiration.
Oh, your dad did it too?
Yeah, because he was out of shape, and then he got in shape, and then he ran.
He ran this one?
No, he ran a 5K.
But the same time you did it?
No, no, no. He's passed away now.
Oh, I thought you said he was doing it with you during that race.
No, 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 no. He did. He wore Brooks back when he was alive.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so what was your total? So you finished all three obstacles, like all three races, and did you have a time in your head and your mind that you wanted to complete?
Well, the race ended at 11 o'clock, so I wanted to make sure that I got done before the end of the race so they didn't forget me. But
they're like, all right, race over. It's like Betty's still at the race. No.
But I got done, I guess it took me about 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, you have nothing, if you think that's a bad time, which I don't, you have nothing to be ashamed of.
I was checking the statistics from people in the past,
yeah,
and for my age group, so I could see my competition ahead of time, and I was thinking I could beat them, but I did not beat them. And
well, you're a first-timer.
I know, but I'm too competitive, and so in my mind, I was checking all the stats, and I thought, I can beat that. I can beat that. I can beat that.
Well, how long was your total time in comparison to what you ran?
Like how long do they actually give you? You did it in 3 hours. Do they give you like 4 hours to finish? You said it ends at 11. When does it start?
It started at 7:30 and it ended at 11.
Okay. So you have 3.5 hours to do it. Mm-hmm. So you completed in three. So you didn't max out on time.
Well, my coach told me, Cindy said, well, Betty, you know, you still had qualifying times on each discipline. They call it a discipline, swimming, right, running, and biking.
Sure.
Each one's a discipline. But she told me that I had qualifying times on everything. So I was pretty excited about that.
Well, the last one was extra too, right? Because you ran a little bit more than you were supposed to.
I guess I guess so. I qualified even though I went double. But yeah. But
that's crazy. So you probably would have smashed it if, you know.
Yeah, she would have had probably 2.5 hours or something.
I don't know.
Because you ran.
It didn't matter at that point because I knew that I was so far behind. I was not going to be like a winner. But I was happy.
Let me stop you. You're a winner.
You're a winner. You're a winner.
You're a winner.
No, but what got me through is, okay, so Nate, thank you so much for giving me the courage to go. Because you said, it's okay, Betty. Just pretend that we're at the gym working out. And so I got to a stressful time in each discipline that I needed to calm down. And I thought, just pretend we're at the gym working out, Betty. And then, so on the bike.
And then, was that your imitation of me?
I love it.
Come on, Betty.
Bright energy.
No, that's awesome. No, my hats are off and I salute you for, one, doing it. Because most people are just terrified to even do something like that, you know. So just doing it is a huge accomplishment, and then actually finishing it, yeah, I can't congratulate you enough. So I definitely applaud you.
Hey, you're the one that got me through it, Nate. So you're the best trainer I've ever had.
Oh, so, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for getting me through it.
You're awesome. So Betty, your everyday life, you're a real estate agent or a broker, right?
Yeah.
A broker. What's the difference between, first of all, what's the difference between an agent and a broker?
Well, so you can always be an agent for somebody because that's who you give your utmost responsibility to is your principal. So then that agent would be the one who gives the principal everything. But so an agent could be a broker or a salesperson. But there's a salesperson who just gets their license, and then they're going to work the business for 3 years. And then once they've done that and had enough transactions under their belt, then they can test out to be a broker, but they have to go back to school. And so what I do, because we have a shortage of salespeople right now in the field, especially people in a generation that's a younger generation. So my passion was to teach people to get their license. So I started teaching at Holloway's to do that, just to take care of that. And I get paid to do it too, so it's a bonus, right?
There you
but
go.
I would just do it out of my heart. But anyway, and then becoming a broker, then I'm actually training now to teach broker classes too. But that means that you've got the experience and you're held to a higher level in the court system if you mess up.
Okay.
And yeah, so but with experience after the 3 years, usually then that kind of a person, if it's a broker, they're going to be able to think through any complications that come up in a transaction, because every single one's different, and hopefully okay. then take better care of the client that is looking for a broker.
There you go. Yeah. So you not only sell houses, but you teach people that are up and coming that want to be a real estate agent. You yeah. teach them the ropes, and then now you're actually teaching agents to be brokers. So you're doing a little bit of both. So.
Eventually. And so that's kind of weird, right? I'm teaching people to be my competition.
Right.
I don't yeah. care, because I love them all. And
right.
so I think that the real estate business is just like, you know, top.
That's the same as my industry, though. I train. I've had a few different clients. After they're done training with me, they go through the whole course or whatever, if it's a year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever. And some of them have ended up being personal trainers as well. You know, they just fall in love with it. And
well, that's my second passion. That is, I want to train to be a trainer now. I want to train silver sneaker people, old yeah. people like me.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would be that would be
sneaker,
awesome.
What is that term?
That's,
I've never heard of it.
Silver sneakers it's an insurance. If some insurance has a, it's not insurance, but silver sneakers is a program that works with a lot of major insurances. And if you have a compatible insurance that accepts silver sneakers, they will pay for your
membership.
Gym membership.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, to keep people healthy. Yeah, so like say if you had Allstate or something, I don't know, or,
Blue Cross,
Blue Shield. they work with a lot of major insurance companies. And if you wanted to like, I think it's the elderly, right?
Yep, you have to be 62 to qualify.
Yep, and if you wanted to, you know, become healthy, and if your doctor's like, you know, you really got to get back in the gym, your blood pressure's getting too high, you know, stuff like that, they will pay for your gym membership. So you go to the gym, you sign up, and then you give them, you know, your receipt or whatever, and they reimburse you. So,
and I want to teach old people like me.
I've actually reached out to Silver Sneakers about HIIT Fitness, and I'm actually kind of still in the. I want to create a Silver Sneakers account so we can offer that, because it's only select gyms too. You have to have a Silver Sneakers account with Silver Sneakers as a gym owner.
You have to be approved for it.
Yeah, you have to be approved. Like Silver Sneakers has to approve you, because they can't just go to any gym.
That shows how young I am, because I had no idea what the hell y'all was talking about.
Oh, yeah. No worries. But that's awesome. I'm super happy that you have that passion. And I was able to have that, you know, give you that passion and create that that inspiration that now you want to help others. Because I think my line of work is awesome, and I really like it.
It is. And I actually prefer to work out with 20 to 30-year-olds myself, but... I don't mind teaching older people either.
Right. Awesome. As far as your real estate goes, what is your passion? What is your style? What do you like about real estate? How do you conduct a sale, I guess? Or if someone were to walk in and say, hey, Betty, I need a house. I know nothing about the industry. I know nothing about the market. I need a house. Like, just in short, tell me like what the process is, what you do. How do you like to open with clients? How do you like to close? You know, give me like a general idea.
Well, each client is individual. And so each one's going to be different. But basically, I just find out what do you want? What do you like? And then have you already been approved with, do you have cash or are you going to be using a mortgage to leverage your funds? And so then if that's the case, then they want to go talk to somebody that's a lender. And then meanwhile, we'll meet. I usually will set up an appointment where they come and see me at the office, or I come to their place of business if it's a business owner, such as like for yourself. And then we have to go find a house for you. And in the market right now, it's a seller's, strong seller's market. So it's a little competitive for a buyer.
Yeah. I heard you basically have to be willing to pay 25 to 30% over the asking price.
Well, actually, update on the market. It's leveling now.
It's leveling.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been leveling for about 3 weeks. And so we're not getting like 13 offers on a house right now. We're getting more like two or three. Okay. It's not selling in the first day. It might be 7 days now. And people are only having to go about $10,000 to $15,000 over the listed price to get it. And I also think that maybe sellers are opening up their eyes to the higher end of the price range. So I think that at that point, as a real estate broker, you have to tell all parties, this is what it's worth, because I can tell you what it's worth. Anyway, I'll pull up the statistics so that my buyers never overpay, but then I'll also make sure my sellers know what the price should be.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is the hardest part, do you think, about being a real estate broker agent? Like, if I were to come in, or Armand come in and be like, hey, Betty, we want a house, or we're trying to get a piece of land or whatever, you know, we don't really know what we want. We just need, you know, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and we want to live, you know, in more of a suburban area. What is the hardest part of that, closing the deal and getting it done where it's like they're moved in and they're happy?
Well, I try to not have a lot of stress beyond my client. I'll take that stress over. And there's always going to be negotiations in every transaction, no matter what it is. And you have to take care of details in advance and be proactive. And then that way you can make for a nice transaction. And so I'll only really involve the seller or the buyer when I know that they have to make a decision. But to do that, I will introduce the facts of what they need to know in order to make their decision. And that can make it a nice transaction. But also, just to clarify a little bit, just because my dad had 30 years of experience and then plus minus 23 years of experience between my dad and what I know, and I have elder brokers that I work with all the time that are retired, and they always are advising me. But I can do any kind of transaction, and it can even be commercial if you want it to be, because I have connections for that. Land contracts, purchase money mortgages, lease options, purchase options, regular mortgages, cash, whatever. And I can handle it. Farm ground, splitting up land to build on, or, you know, farm ground. Anyway, I work with all of that. So it's been very fun, very exciting for me.
Yeah.
But looking into the what can happen, that what can come up, I always am looking for what might happen. And so when I'm teaching other agents, I try to tell them what you need to watch for is this. This could happen, because it did happen once, and I don't want it ever to happen again, that kind of thing. So that's how I can make it smooth for somebody. If the person is angry and they don't want to do what I ask them to do, then usually we're going to have some lumps in the road. So hopefully...
Not the lumps.
Yes. Hopefully...
Not the lumpy road.
I mean, if they listen and we can reason with each other and work through it, then it'll usually be a very good transaction.
Yeah. When, Armand, when are you going to pull the trigger and get a house?
As soon as my trading account hits the comfortable amount for me to pull out $50,000 and put it in Betty's hand.
Oh, so Betty's going to be your real estate agent.
For Michigan, for sure.
He plans on
my
buying
pleasure.
Multiple
I do.
Houses.
I can work anywhere in Michigan.
Right.
Yeah. All the way up, all the way down. I've gone as far as Houghton, Hancock to work for a doctor that just really wanted me to help him.
I need something in Birmingham. I need one of those.
From that I area, need that.
I need that, and I definitely. We'll talk, Betty. Once the money does everything I needed to do, but I'm 25 and I got a couple years, you know.
Yeah, but when my kids were hitting towards 18 years old, I started getting them ready to buy a house.
Yeah, because it takes time.
My mom tried to, but I think what happened was I picked so many different careers, and I just kind of just had like a lump of things I want to go around. I'll tell you what, though. After I move out of this loft, we're going to look for a mortgage.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm not renting anymore. I'm when I move out of my current situation, I'm going into, and that's what I'm trying to do right now. So... one thing I think that I made a mistake at, with being 36 right now, cause I envisioned myself owning already, but I didn't realize when I was 25, I was like, oh yeah, by the time I'm 35, I'll own. But I didn't realize like what it actually, what goes into it. Like what's, you know, it's a process and you have to have all your ducks in a row in order to be. You know, in order to do what you want, in order to be approved for what you want. And so my only recommendation for the younger generation would be, even if you're not trying to buy right now, and I could be wrong, I'm not a real estate agent, but from what I've heard you talk about and from what I've seen, if you're wanting to buy, like, even in 10 years or 5 years, start preparing yourself now with, you know, just proper documents and tax filings and just getting everything in a row, so when you do sit in front of that mortgage, you know, company or banker, and they're like, okay, we need to see this and this, you have everything already prepared and you've had multiple years of proper documents, and it's a very simple, you know, situation and procedure at that point, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes just having a consultation even 2 to 3 years before you're ready with me or another broker is, it'll help you plan for the future. I mean, I'm in it for life, really. So, I've had people that had to have debt paid off and it took them 3 years to do it. So when they were ready, I was ready.
Yeah. Even you said your son, because he was a business owner.
Yes.
Yeah. It took him a couple of years because, you know, he did. And I've heard this, with a lot of business owners, we're not employees. We don't have check stubs. We don't have W-2s.
Yeah.
You know, we're business owners, so we have just gross net income from the business. And unless you're actually like paying yourself as a W-2, which there's a lot of business owners that don't do that. There's a lot that do, but you're going to fall into some... you know, lumps in the road, as you would say. Because when they want to know like what your personal income is, they don't want to know what the business income is.
Unless the business is buying the real estate.
Right. Unless the business is buying the real estate.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it's a great industry because you're able to help people and people are happy when they, you know, they get a new house. Like, what better joy do you have when you get those keys?
And I mean, like, everybody needs shelter. And we can provide that,
yeah.
Right?
And when it's yours, it's different.
And it doesn't go up. The principal and interest won't go up on your mortgage unless you've got a flexible rate mortgage. But
yeah,
I
mean, when it's something's yours, it's a different feeling. Like I know when you got your loft, you were really happy, right? When they gave you the keys,
yeah.
You were like,
"That's my first place with not with three other dudes." I was hype.
Right. You're like, finally, not a bachelor pad.
I was like, I'm moving in with my beautiful girlfriend, dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking cool.
And just imagine if that was like, you bought that. Like, that was yours, not rented.
I'd
yours.
I feel even better.
Yeah. You feel amazing. And so it's a beautiful, and you probably see that a lot. Like, when people close and they get the keys, they're probably like, oh my God, thank you, Betty, so much.
Yep. They're super excited. But it can go from one end to the other on emotions. It's just one of the most emotional parts of someone's life is either buying or selling.
Right, and exactly.
So, yeah, really
I've been
exciting.
On Zillow every morning. I'm a strong manifester, and I'm looking at big houses in Arizona for when I finally buy AZ. A house one day.
Yep, and I can find an agent that would be good for you in Arizona, too. And so I do have other people that are looking to move to Arizona from Michigan. They do the same thing. They're looking to see if it's got a furnace in case it ever gets cold.
We were talking about memories earlier. It's Arizona for me because that's the first memory I have is being in Arizona in the desert with my grandma. So
happy. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, how can people get a hold of you? I want to be able to plug you real quick on your business because I think what you're doing is great. And I don't think there's any better real estate agent out there that's more friendly and giving and caring than you. And there's good real estate agents out there, but I feel like just by knowing you, I think that you would definitely be more personable and more caring in a situation like that. And I think as a consumer outlook on it, I think that's what someone that's looking to buy a house needs. They need someone that actually is going to care about their situation and fight for them and, you know, get a house or whatever they're trying to get.
But I want to warn you for a minute because I've been labeled as a bulldog because you know how I had to be a triathlete. Aggressive. I had to be a triathlete and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And so if I get stuck on something has to be a certain way and I fight for my clients, I just won't give up very easy.
That's a good thing though. That's a good thing for us.
Not always good.
For the other real estate agents, it's not good. But so who do you work for?
It's my own business, it's Remax Real Estate Professionals and we each are owned and operated independently. So it's under the umbrella.
Remax. Okay, cool. Yep. And how can someone get a hold of you if someone's listening to this podcast and they're wanting to buy a house and they want the best real estate agent right here in Lansing, Michigan? What is a good way to get a hold of you? Do you have a social media or phone number or email?
Well, they can go to BettyBedard.com or call me 517-896-6015. Either way is fine.
Okay.
If you go to my website, there's an email link and you can email whatever.
That's Betty Bedard, BETTY. Bedard is BEDARD.
Yep.
.com.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. And they can just go on there or call you and reach out and then kind of just start the process, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We'll
make
an appointment.
Yeah, so if any of you guys are looking to buy a house or maybe a commercial property, I definitely highly recommend reaching out to Betty. She's an awesome gal, and I'm 100% positive she'll take care of you.
Thank you, Nate. And I just have to tell you, I'm just like a firm believer in having enough energy to take care of my people. But in order to do that, you guys are giving me energy all the time, every day that I work out here. And I just appreciate it so much for giving me that help.
That's so nice of
you. Thanks for being
here. I really do appreciate that. I do appreciate that a lot. All right, guys, we're going to be wrapping it up. This was a little shorter episode, but we're in our prime right now with Hit Fitness, and we got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be having some more episodes coming out shortly in a few days, so look out for that. I truly appreciate you guys listening. Armand, anything you want to say real quick?
Just want to say to the world, you know, just thank you guys for continuing to listen. We keep getting, you know, more and more downloads every day, and we're really appreciative because we do all the editing. We do everything on our own. Nate invested a lot into just bringing this opportunity here for us to sit down and just have a conversation with you guys. And to Betty, I just want to let you know, you are one of the lights of my life.
Well,
and
thank
I am
you,
so happy to know you, and I tell everybody that. And I'm just so happy that you got to get on the podcast for your birthday. And I'm so glad that was what you asked for your birthday.
I know, because Nate says, what do you want for your birthday? I says, I want to be on my podcast, on your podcast, I mean, because it's my birthday, and I feel like I was just born into a new life now.
There you go.
Celebrating new life.
We love you.
This is our birthday present, and We wanted you to have a good birthday and come on our podcast and be able to talk to the world. So I really appreciate that.
And I love when if I step into the office, Armand always gives me great pieces of advice that help push me through some of my hard times of working out. Like,
I'm so glad that I can do that.
I know you do. You make little comments, and
I try to. I need to be a light,
and
just
it
like
always,
you guys are.
Always works because you said it's just a rhythm, Betty. You just have to get in a rhythm. And you said something about my push-ups earlier. Well, I think of what you said every time I do push-ups because you said it has to be in a rhythm. So I just get in a rhythm. And then push-ups just keep coming.
I love how you absorb all the like all the tips and like just like advice and everything. You're very coachable, and that's a very good characteristic of yours. And you absorb everything. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm only coachable to people that I really trust, and I really trust you guys here. So
that's awesome. We trust you, and we love you. So, all right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Afterburn Podcast. This is Coach Nate and Armand and Betty, and we are out till next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to HIIT Fitness, The Afterburn. Be sure to subscribe to all of our socials and don't hesitate to reach out to have you and your brand featured on our show.